October 15, 1:05 p.m. I put down the book. I've been skimming over chapter one, Who the Fuck Do You Think You Are, again and again, trying to absorb the material. It's good stuff, really breaking in new ground in the vulgar self-help game. It'll be right up there with You Are a Badass and The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck. So who the fuck do you think you are? Because I'll tell you who I think you are. I've never met you, but if you're like most people, you're a limp dick, dingleberry, dangling dipshit with the personality of a dead sloth receiving defibrillator shocks from a pair of EMT-B dropouts on day 5 of a 3-day meth binge. My goal in writing this book is to give you the tools you need to prove me wrong. The guy's practically Tolstoy. As entertaining as I find the unhinged ravings of a career military officer, I hate to admit that I've been anticipating Chase's arrival far more than the wannabe Colonel Kurtz's descent into madness. Earlier today, the phone popped off a text to let me know he'd, Chase Natch, dropped my food off. His footsteps were already heading down the stairs. I rushed to the door. "Wait," I said, hoping he could hear me from the other side. "Are you still there?" A redundant question. I could hear the faint rasp of his breathing, the groan of the porch boards. If you listen hard enough, you can hear just about anything.
"Ma'am?"
Polite, southern. His voice still had a tenuous, anxious quality that I associate with youthfulness and inexperience. "Do you mind waiting?" I asked him. Okay, a stupid request. Time was nothing if not money for a gig driver. Every second he spent humoring me was a second that his potential earnings vaporized into nothingness. "I can pay." Silence. Except there's never silence. I swear I could almost hear his blood coursing through his veins. Fight or flight. I had put him on the spot, and now his body was reacting. Perhaps he was so keyed up because he had stage fright, triggering some ancient memory of an 8th grade theater teacher who forced him to perform in front of the class. He stuttered something about having to go. That's when I slid the money under the cabin door. I still had a good chunk of change from Wexler's exploits with an ATM back in North Carolina. "It's yours," I told him. "Just pull up a chair on the porch, humor me."
"Is this a joke?"
I pictured him in my mind's eye, standing on the other side of the door, staring down at $200. I don't even know if I can say it's a lot of money anymore. Most of my sense of value has gone out the window, with the madhouse providing for me and my principal preoccupation being that of survival, not solvency. "Nobody's making you stay," I said. "But if you do, it's yours." Call it animal instinct. I knew he was going to take it before he took it. Once he'd pocketed the money, he dragged one of the rocking chairs over to the door.
"This is weird,"
Chase said, settling in.
"Real frackin' weird."
He said it like that too. Frackin', like that old Battlestar show. Fucking dweeb. "You don't even know the half of it." I half expected an awkward silence. Maybe I'm just too used to Wexler's brooding, but Chase spoke up almost immediately.
"I've never been paid to just sit outside the door before. Is your husband in there?"
Chase lowered his voice to a whisper.
"Does he?"
I imagined his eyes flicking around as if he were a drug dealer scanning the area for police.
"Does he want me to S-E-X you while he watches?"
I barked a laugh.
"It's not that funny. It happens."
God alone knows what this kid's seen on the job. "What's the weirdest thing someone's asked you to do while you were out delivering?" I couldn't resist. He relaxed now, eased into the seat from the sound of it. Now that he wasn't expecting further services for the catch, his demeanor had shifted.
"That, I guess, some lady wanted me to screw her while her husband watched and jerked one out."
"Did you?"
"No. For all I know, they were going to secretly film it and put it on the internet. I don't need anyone watching my pasty white ass. What about you?"
"What about me?" He tapped his foot.
"Why am I out here and you in there? You got some kind of, like, condition?"
I scraped at the fur on my face with my clawed hand. I wanted to pluck every last strand out, bloody and stinging. Some kind of condition, yeah, you could say that. Some time must have passed because he grunted.
Well?
Well, what?
What kind of condition?
It's not contagious, if that's what you were wondering.
A bit late for that now that I've touched the money, but I'm glad.
The rest of the conversation flowed by. It's hard for me to remember all the details, and I'm paraphrasing most of the quotes above. Memory's a slippery thing, and this is more for my entertainment than any record. Chase Walker was an interesting kid. Really, he wasn't a kid. He was 24, working to keep himself afloat while he attended a nearby university. He'd gone in intending to get a nursing degree. His mom had been a nurse, and it was a solid career, but when time came to shadow a nurse, he found the blood and body fluids a bit too ick for his liking. So he took a few years off to find himself. Find himself. Always funny how people use that phrase. Like there's this set of keys inside of their house, and if only they could find those keys, they could hop into a car and drive far, far away. I don't want to find myself. I'm afraid of myself finding me. Chase went back to school, decided to focus on business. He told me all about his ideas for business. So many, they reminded me of a writer bouncing story ideas off of her unwilling friends. Here's an idea, but wait, this idea. But wait, no, how about this idea? This is the one! Chase had that sort of energy. At some point, I thought about inviting him in. I'd given him a good paycheck for little work, but when I glimpsed myself in the mirror above the fireplace, not going to happen. When the conversation wound down, I could tell he wanted to leave but didn't want to seem ungrateful. That made me feel dirty, like the $200 that were now crumpled in his pocket had facilitated our entire interaction. Like I'd cast a spell over him as if I were some scumbag magi bent on mental domination. Nope. I used the magic built into society rather than tapping into the gloom. People will do a lot of things for these green pieces of paper. Most of it isn't even paper anymore. Just digits on some computer software. But it all came down to what those pieces of paper and digital data stood for, and that's power. I don't know if God is out there, but he sure as fuck isn't here. In this country, money meant more than human dignity. Christ, I've only been here a few weeks and I'm already penning a manifesto. You don't have to hang out, I said, leaning against the door. I appreciate you even staying for how long you did.
Thanks,
Chase said.
I enjoyed it. I really did. Not just saying that because of the money.
Shuffling as he got out of the rocker, the grating of wood on wood as he dragged it back into place, his footsteps faded away, leaving behind only the rustling of the leaves outside. My name's... I began. I'd used a fake name on the app. Not even for security reasons, but ever since the incident, I haven't felt like myself. My name's V. But he'd already left. The 100-handed lost souls.